Daf Ches, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Acha both quote different psukim from the words of Rabbi Chanina that teaches that you should daven with a minyan, with a tzibor, with a lot of people. Rabbi Nassan brings a pasuk to teach that Hashem is never disgusted by the tefillah of a lot of people, because Hashem says that whoever learns Torah and they do chesed and they daven with tzibor with a lot of people, it says if he redeemed Hashem and Bnei Yisrael from Galus and the exile. Rishlakish says that anyone that has a shul in the community and doesn't daven there is a shachin ra, a bad neighbor, and they're going to cause this Galus for themselves and his descendants. They told Rabbi Yochanan, a bunch of people told Rabbi Yochanan that there are old people in Bava. Rabbi Yochanan was really surprised. The pasuk says, L'man yirbu yimeichem al ha'adama, to have a long life on the land, which is the land of Israel. But this says that if you live in outside of Israel, you can't have a long life, which we know is not true. But they told nowadays, but they told him that these people are coming early to shul, and they are leaving shul late. And he said, oh, okay, that makes sense, that they're getting rewarded because they're coming and going from shul and leaving late. Just like Rabbi Yehoshua and Levi told his sons that if they come to shul early and leave late, then they'll have a long life. Rabbi Acha says in the name of Rabbi Chanina that he gives the pasuk to teach that coming to shul early and leaving late gives you a schar to have a long life. Rabbi Chista says that you should, when you go into a shul, you should always go through two doors. So it's not literally go through two doors, but it means you should walk the width of two doors into the shul before you sit down and start davening, so it doesn't look like you're waiting right by the door, rushing to get out. Rabbi Chanina, they bring down a pasuk that says, le'es matzah, which apparently is a good thing, and it says that at the time of finding. So a lot of people want this. So what does that mean? How do we understand this? Rabbi Chanina says that the pasuk is talking about a good wife. That's what everyone wants. That, and that's why in Israel, before you get married, they're going to say, is your wife a matzah or a motzah? And they bring a pasuk showing that matzah means a good wife, and motzah is not a good wife before, if she's a good or a bad wife before you marry her. Rabbi Nassan says, le'es matzah is talking about Torah. Rabbi Nachman ber Rabbi Yitzchak says it's talking about an easy death, because we know that there are 903 types of death in the world. The worst of them is diphtheria, I think I'm pronouncing that right, and the best of them is this kiss from Hashem, which is like a really easy way to die. We said that diphtheria is like pulling a thorn branch out of a ball of wool, or forcing a rope, a thick rope, through a tight hole, so it's very unpleasant. But the kiss from Hashem is just like pulling a hair out of milk. So very, very easy. Rabbi Yochanan says, le'es matzah is talking about a proper burial, because Rava Bar Shila says that you should even daven for the last shovelful at your funeral, that that be with mercy and peaceful. Mar Zitra says that it's that you live close to the bathroom. That's what everyone wants. And in Eretz Yisrael, they say that that is actually the best thing, what Mar Zitra says. So Rava said to Raphram Bar of Papa, can you tell me something that Rav Chista used to say that was really good about shul? So he says that Hashem loves the places where people determine halacha more than any shul or base medrash. And Ula says that since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem only has the four amos of halacha in this world. That's where Hashem resides, where people are learning halacha. So Abaye says that he used to learn at home and daven at shul, but then when he heard this teaching of Ula, he only davened where he learned, because that's where Hashem is found. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi had 13 shuls where they lived in Tiveria, but they only davened where they learned. Rabbi Chia Bar Ami says that it's better to get benefit from your own work than through someone else's, because the pasuk says about your own effort that Ashrecha v'tovlecha, be happy and it'll be good for you. Ashrecha, that'll be good in olam haza, in this world. V'tovlecha, it'll be good for you in olam haba. But by getting benefit from someone else's, it only says Ashrecha, it'll only be good for you in this world. Rabbi Chia Bar Ami says that you should always live, in the name of Ula, that you should always live by your Rebbe, because Shlomo only married Paro's daughter after his Rebbe, Shimi ben Gera, died, so he could move away. But we have a brisa that says that you shouldn't live close to your Rebbe. So he said that, no, if you're going to be subservient to your Rebbe and you're going to listen to him, then you should live close to him. But if you're not going to be subservient and you're not going to listen to what he tells you, then you shouldn't live close to him. Rabbi Ami says, what's this pasuk that says, Ozvei Hashem Yikalu, that the people who leave Hashem will be destroyed? That if you walk out after the Torah has been opened to for laning, you walk out, then that's what this pasuk is talking about. Rabbi Abahu used to leave between the Aliyos. If Papa says, what if you leave between psukim and the teku, we don't know. Rav Sheshas would turn his face and he would learn while they were reading Torah. And so that they're learning their Torah and I'm learning mine. So if Ami says that you should always do Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum, meaning that you should read the Parsha twice, or one time with a translation or interpretation every week with the community. And even the psukim of Ateros and Diva and Ateros Vidivon, which are only talking about the names of cities which have no interpretation or translation, you still have to do that. Twice with the Mikra and once with a Targum. And if you finish the Parsha with the Tzibor every week, you'll have a long life. Or if Bibi Bar Abaye wanted to finish all of the Torah on Erev Yom Kippur, he wanted to read it all. But Rav Chiya bar Rav Midifti, Chiya bar Rav Midifti said that, you know, we have this drasha, we have this explanation that if you eat on the 9th of Tishrei, the day before Yom Kippur, it says if you fasted on both the 9th and the 10th, both, like, you fasted for 2 days, and so don't spend your time reading the whole Torah, spend your time eating a lot on Erev Yom Kippur. Rabbi Bar Abaye said, fine, so I'm going to finish the entire Torah early in the year, in the first week or two. But we have a braisa that says you shouldn't do it earlier or later than the community. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi told his sons that they should finish the Parsha with the Tzibor, Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. He also said you should be careful to follow Rabbi Yehuda, that you should fully cut the jugular in the bird's neck for Shechita to make sure that's kosher. And you should be careful with the honor of old people who involuntarily lost their Torah, because even the first luchos that Moshe broke and all their letters flew away are still showed honor and are in the Aron, in the Beis Hamikdash. So Rava told his sons that when you cut the meat, don't cut it on your hand, either because it's very dangerous, or even if it's not so dangerous, maybe you'll make a little cut and a little blood will get into the meat and that will ruin the meal. Another thing he said is don't sit on the bed of an Aramean woman, and he told them not to pass behind a shul while they're davening. So what does this Aramean woman mean? It means either it's a way of saying that you shouldn't go to sleep without saying Kriyat Shema at night, or he was reminding his sons who are Kohanim that they can't marry a convert. Or literally, don't sit on the bed of an Aramean woman, because there was a story with Rav Papa who wanted to collect a debt from this Aramean woman, and he went there and she said, all right, I'll give you your money, sit on this bed. And he said, I'm not going to until you show me what's under all these blankets and under the bed. And they lifted up the bed and he saw that there was a corpse there of a dead child, because she was trying to frame him and then she would not have to pay the debt. So what does it mean when we said that you shouldn't pass behind a shul? This proves Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, who says that you shouldn't do this. They shouldn't pass behind a shul while they're davening, but Abaye says, no, he gives them conditions. If there's no other door, then you can't do it. And if there's no other shul in the area, then you can't do it. But if there's another door to the shul, and if there's another shul in the area, you can. Or if you're carrying a load, or you're running, or you're wearing tefillin, showing that you're in a rush, you're preoccupied, things like that, then you don't have to worry. Rabbi Akiva says that he loves the Midians for three things: that they would only cut meat on a table, they would only kiss on the hand, and that they would only seek counsel in the field. Rabbi Adbar Ava says that we learned this from Yaakov, who called Rachel and Leah to the field to talk to them about leaving from the house of Lavan, and they did it in a field. So then we go back to Rabbi Gamliel, says that he loves three things about the Persians: that they're sanua, they're discreet with their food, with their bathroom, and with relations. Rabbi Yossi says that the Persians are going to Gehenna, not nowadays Persians, but back in the day. And even still, we still have stuff that we can learn from them. So now we're going back to the Mishnah, where Rabban Gamliel says, you can daven Shema until dawn. So Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that the halacha is like Rabban Gamliel, that you have until dawn. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said that sometimes you could say Kriyat Shema twice at night, one time before dawn and one time after dawn. And by doing that, you'll be Yotze the Kriyat Shema of the day and the night before. But we say this doesn't make sense, this statement, because you said that you say it twice at night, so this would imply that saying it after dawn is considered night. But then we said you'd be Yotze that day's Kriyat Shema and the night before, which implies that after dawn is the day. So now what is it really? After dawn is considered night, but because people are awake then and they're waking up, you could say Kriyat Shema and you could be Yotze for that coming day. Rabbi Acha bar Chanina said the name of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, that the halacha here is like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that you could do this twice at night and be Yotzei for both. But some actually teach Rabbi Acha bar Chanina in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, who said the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, on a different teaching of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said the name of Rabbi Akiva, that sometimes you say Kriyat Shema twice during the day, one time before and one time after sunrise, and you'd be Yotzei both for your Kriyat Shema of that day and of the previous night. So again, this doesn't make sense, because we said you'll say it sometimes, you say it twice in the day, which implies that before sunrise is considered day. But then we say your Yotze both the Kriyat Shema of that day and the previous night, which implies that before sunrise is night. So it doesn't make sense. So stay tuned tomorrow for the answer. Shkach.